Good morning. I'm glad you invite me to come back to preach God's word to you. I'm so happy to share his word. And also, good morning to those who watch us online, especially in our text today in the Luke chapter 7. You will see that the word of God really has power, even from a far distance. So please open your Bible to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 7. It's on page 1188 of your Pew Bible. As you are turning there, notice the context here. The beginning of Jesus' ministry was mainly in Jewish community. Jesus just finished his Sermon on the Mount, and then he came into Capernaum. The healing of a centurion servant is the start of Jesus' ministry to the Gentiles. It is a crucial historical event in salvation history. So faith comes forth to the Gentiles. So here is the word of God. Gospel Luke, chapter 7, verse 1 to 10. Now, when he concluded all his sayings in the hearing of the people, he entered Capernaum, and a certain centurion's servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. So when he heard about Jesus, he sent elders of the Jews to him, pleading with him to come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they begged him earnestly, saying that the one for whom he should do this was deserving. For he loves our nation, and he has built us a synagogue. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man placed under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him, and turned around and said to the crowd that followed him, "I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." And those who were sent, returning to the house, found the servant well who had been sick. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we give thanks for the opportunity to read your word, to think through your holy word, because your word is the light before our feet. Father, give us a tender heart. Let us repent before your word, because you call us to be your people. You call us to be your faithful servant. We need your word. Please open our heart. Bless the worship. Bless the hearing and the teaching of your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today is the last Lord's Day of 2020. I know 2020 is not easy for many people. It is a hard year, a difficult, a challenging, even a strange year. Well, I want to ask you this question. How much time do you spend on reading the Word of God? How much time you spend on your prayer? Well, you probably will say, you know, it's so many challenges in my life this year. Well, you should know, even in the midst of your difficulty, the more you will need to read, to meditate, to think the word of God. Because this is the power of your life. This is the truth of your life, the light before your feet. You know, as a child, we all grow up from a child. Many times we forgot the goodness of our parents, but we remember what? The discipline they did to us, right? And if they then we found, oh, this is a bad dad. I don't like my dad because he beat me. But there's a reason behind it. Because, hey, you are his own son. He will discipline you. So we need to go back to the Word of God to remember his covenant grace to us. Otherwise, we will forget. We will think that we have a bad father in heaven. In our text, you can see a centurion, a Gentile, who has great faith to the Word of God. So I want to encourage you that to humble yourself before God's mercy and put all your faith in God's Word, which is your ultimate authority. And children, if you draw a picture today, you can draw a theological picture. You can draw a big iron cage. You and a sleeping bear were locked together in this cage. It's dangerous, right? Let me tell more. But more dangerous is a child outside the cage. This child is the law. This child is shouting at you. Be careful, watch out. This is a bear. This is your sin. The bear is your sin. But it's a sleeping bear. But you will be crazy because the law really waked up this sleeping bear. What would you do? So children, listen carefully to my sermon today. I will tell you later in my sermon. So as we look into the text today, I want to remind you first, when there is a trial in your life, do you seek help from Jesus? When there is a trial in your life, do you seek help from Jesus? In verse 2, a certain centurion servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. Centurion is a captain in Roman army. You know, the Roman army, they were deployed, they took charge in a foreign land. Capernaum is really a foreign land to them. Centurion is from the word century. Century. So for a centurion, there were about 80 people under his command. This centurion, he had a good reputation in the Jewish community. He built them a synagogue. He loved their nation. The trial to him was that his servant was ill and who was ready to die. But when this centurion knew the name of Jesus, who had the power to save his servant from death, this centurion sought help from Jesus. You know, as a centurion, he had a busy job there. He didn't have much time to study the Word of God. But he had made every his single move according to his faith in the Word of God. In the Old Testament, when God called Israel people out of Egypt to the Promised Land, when they face trials, from whom do they should seek for help? Well, they should always seek help from their God, Yahweh, their covenantal God, who is gracious to them, who has grace covenant with them, who is always there waiting for them to return and repent. But what was the reality? Many times, the Israel people, they complained to God and sought help from their own eye. They sought help from Egypt. They sought help from the one who had more horses and chariots, the one who was able. In the book of Isaiah 31, verse 1, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots, because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Furthermore, when Israel people was led by Joshua to conquer the cities in the Promised Land, they prayed very hard for the battle with the great city Jericho, and yet they didn't pray at all for the battle with the small city Ai. The great city Jericho, which is an impossible task for them. So they relied on the Lord earnestly. They made every single move according to the word of God. For 6 days, they rose up early in the morning. The priests took up the ark of the Lord, and they marched around the city once a day. On the seventh day, they marched around the city for seven times. And they shot, and the trumpets were blown, and the wall fell down flat. But what's next? They changed to be proud of themselves. They didn't ask the Lord anymore. So just after this battle, when they faced a small city, Ai, they didn't ask the Lord, and they were defeated. Tragically, many people died. Friends, when there is a trial in your life, from whom do you always seek for help? You need to seek help from your Lord, Jesus. Don't rely on the one who seems to have more resources, who seems to be able. You shouldn't forget your covenant Lord, who has the great covenant with you. For big or small trials, do you always pray to God for guidance? As a church, you need to pray hard today. I hope I can see all of you in the evening prayer meeting. It's a good way to conclude your year. God's church might face more persecution in the near future, so don't be surprised for that. That's a spiritual battle. Are you really prepared for that battle? So when there is a trial in your life, seek help from Jesus. But on what basis you could come to God? So secondly, as a Gentile, only by his mercy you come to God. Only by his mercy you come to God. If you read any book of Pauline's epistle, you will find that there is a tension between the Jews and the Gentiles. The Jews are proud that they are the children of Abraham. They have the laws of Moses. They are circumcised on the eighth day. They valued their tradition, and they despised the Gentiles who don't have the law of Moses. In our text, it seems like there is no tension. It seems wonderful the Jews, the elders of Jews, just helped this Gentile centurion to ask help from Jesus. But on what basis? On what basis? In verse 5, for he loves our nation, he built us a synagogue. But then how about those who don't have the ability to build them a synagogue? How about these Gentiles who are not able? The Jews have a certain standard, their own agenda. They love people who obey the law. They love people who are able. Did Jesus ever teach such kind of doctrine before? No, never. Jesus never said that you are saved because you did something for him. When Jesus healed a woman who had a discharge of blood for 12 years, he said, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. So go in peace." So you are saved by faith, not by your work. In our text, Jesus marveled at the centurion because of his great faith, not because of what he did. But the Jews marveled at the centurion because of what he did. That's a big difference. The Jews begged for mercy on the basis of what he did. The tension between the Jews and the Gentiles is the tension between the law and the gospel. Saved by work or by faith? This is an important question. It is like you and a sleeping bear are locked together in an iron cage. The sleeping bear is your sin. You don't want to wake it up, but the law is shouting at you outside the cage. Watch out, watch out, this is your sin. This is a bear. And then the bear really wake up and start to attack you all the time. You are crazy. What would you do? I can tell you, the first move, you probably want to shut down the law, right? Don't cry. Don't say a word. I'm fine with as far as the bear is sleeping there. And furthermore, you will cry to the law. You will cry, save me, show mercy to me. But the law will say, well, I want to save you, but I don't know how to save you. I want to show mercy, but in the law, there is no mercy. Do you see that? So children, how to escape this cage? In this world, there is only one person who had fulfilled the law. Who is him? Jesus Christ. So you could draw a shining cross on top of your cage. That's the only way you can escape from this cage. That's by the mercy of Jesus. You need to cry to Jesus rather than the law. Jesus gained the righteousness of God, which is imputed on you. You are justified by faith in Christ, not by your own good work. But then what's the function of the law? The law humbles you before God. The law directs you to Christ. The law is not bad. The law is helpful, but the law cannot save you. Friends, on what basis do you love others in your church? It's so easy to say that he is a good person because he did such and such. But Jesus loves you on the basis of his own grace. Furthermore, once you are saved, the Holy Spirit dwells in you. Good work flows out naturally but slowly. So be patient to yourself and be patient to brothers and sisters in your church. Life changing is a long process. Don't demand the change of others, but pray for them. Timing is upon God. Since you are saved by God's mercy, what kind of attitude you should have before God? So thirdly, humble yourself before God. Humble yourself before God. The centurion lived in a time which is really not easy for a Gentile. But you don't see any complaint from his mouth. Instead, he gained a good reputation in this foreign community. He didn't say anything good, any good deed about himself. But the elders of Jews said to Jesus in verse 5, he loves our nation and has built us a synagogue. It's just like in the Proverb 27, verse 2, let another man praise you, and not your own mouth, a stranger, and not your own lips. You could see this centurion is a humble man. He didn't praise himself. Furthermore, why this centurion loves Israel nation? John Calvin said he loved this nation because of God. In Psalm 32:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. It's like in the book of Ruth, when Naomi said to Ruth and her sister-in-law, "Turn back, my daughters. Why will you go with me? It grieves me very much that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me." Then the sister-in-law of Ruth just turned away. But Ruth said to Naomi, "Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God." Capernaum is a foreign land for this centurion. But he knew that there is a true living God in this land. He loves Israel nation because he loves their God. In verse 6, you could also see his humility from his sense of self-unworthiness. In verse 6, when Jesus was already not far from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, "Lord, do not trouble yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof." Friends, on what basis do you think you are worthy for God's blessings? On what basis do you think you are worthy to enjoy a peaceful and joyful Christmas day? Only in Christ you are worthy. Only in Christ you are worthy. Let's check a famous Bible verse that people often use for Christmas card. Luke chapter 2, verse 14. There are several translations. In the KJV version, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward man." Goodwill toward man. That's a classic Christmas verse. But how about the ESV or NASB's translation? "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." So why here is the difference? These two verses of the verse actually stem from a rather tiny variant between the manuscripts of Luke's gospel. It all actually boils down to the presence or absence of a single Greek letter. The phrase "goodwill towards man" in the traditional reading is a translation of the two Greek words anthropos and eudokia. The two words is thus called a dative plural form of the word anthropos, a word for man. The dative plural form means to mean, to man. The second word, eudokia, is a word for goodwill, favor. So the KJV version, "goodwill toward man," is a straightforward literal reading. But the translation like ESV differ because they are based on ancient manuscripts that differ different ever so slightly from the wording above. Well, the first word to man is entirely the same, but the second word has one additional letter, make it eudikalas instead of eudika. This is merely a genitive form of the same word. The word should be translated of goodwill, favor, or possessing goodwill or favor, since in the context, the goodwill is clearly still that of God. To man possessing God's favor, or to man toward whom has goodwill. So the ESV among those with whom he is pleased. Greek and Hebrew languages are beautiful, although I didn't really pronounce it beautifully. You know, my Hebrew professor, Dr. William, always say that without Hebrew, there's no sunshine. Well, you know, in Pittsburgh, there's really not much sunshine days. But in his days, there's always sunshine because he enjoyed the original word of God. So I encourage you, have time to take your time. It's worthy of your time, of your study for the Greek and the Hebrew languages. So friends, even in a Christmas day, we are unworthy. We are unworthy for Jesus to come under our roof. It is because his goodwill. It's because his goodwill, he chose you to be his people. His life is the source of peace and joy. So God is pleased to us for the sake of Christ. So humble yourself before God. Humble yourself before God. And fourthly, put all your faith in God's word, which is the ultimate authority. Put all your faith in God's word, which is the ultimate authority. In verse 7, therefore, I did not even think myself worthy to come to you, but say the word. Say the word, and my servant will be healed. You could clearly see his faith from what he believes. This is a great faith. Just say the word. Do you believe that? Do you spend time on the word of God? Do you have faith in the word of God? Just say the word. When Lazarus of Bethany was dead for 4 days, Jesus came to them. Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Martha didn't have the faith like this centurion. She couldn't imagine that Jesus could save Lazarus in a far distance. But Jesus didn't rebuke her for her faith, but said to her tenderly, your brother will rise again. I am the resurrection and the life. In Gospel John, after the resurrection, Jesus appeared to his disciples. One disciple, Thomas, said, unless I see in his hands the mark of the nails and the place and place my finger there, I will never believe. Jesus allowed him to touch him. After that, Thomas answered him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. You could see this centurion's face is greater than Thomas' face. In verse 9, Jesus marveled at the centurion's face and turned his face to the crowd who followed him. The crowd must have witnessed everything happened there. At the beginning, the crowd followed Jesus. They just wanted to see another miracle that Jesus did. But all of a sudden, Jesus turned his face to them. He's asking, you have followed me for such a long time, and you heard all my teachings. Do you have faith in my word? It's just like Jesus asked his disciple, Simon Peter, do you love me? My friends, Jesus cares about your soul. You are not just an audience here. You are the main character in this story. He asks you that. Do you believe in me? Do you have faith in me? Do you love me? When you read the Bible, when you read the Word of God, you need to notice the very Word of God is written to you. It's not just a story. It's about your spiritual life. Without the life of Jesus, without his word, there will be no peace on this land. 2020 is the election year. In some big city, the argument is more sharp. If you walk around the neighborhood, you could see the different yard signs. Even though there's no people in the yard, you could see the yard signs are arguing with each other day and night. But 2 weeks ago, there was a heavy snow day. The beautiful snow covers everything, not only the yard signs, but also the horses, the horse itself, the roads, the trees, everything. The whole world is changed. The whole world is transformed by this beautiful snow. The snow is the heavenly blessing. It washes us. It was the most peaceful day I have ever experienced in 2020. In Psalm 51, verse 7, "Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." I believe the word of God is more powerful than any political party. Do you believe that? Take heart for the word of God. Let me conclude with the book of Isaiah 55, verse 10 to 11. Please turn with me to the book of Isaiah 55, verse 10 to 11. Today we need this heavenly blessing. We need to honor the word of God, which is the authority of your life. This is your really hope. So in the book of Isaiah, chapter 55, verse 10 to 11. "For as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, but water the earth, and make it bring forth and bud, that is, may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the things for which I send it." So, brothers and sisters, we should honor the word of God. The revival of his people starts from his word, starts from the prayer meeting, start from your personal godliness. Start from your family worship. So we need to honor his word. Humble yourself before God's mercy and put all your faith in God's word, which is your ultimate authority. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we give thanks. You tell us this is the last days, but many times we forgot. We have a lot of false hope on the earth. But Father, please help us. May your word go forth. May your word refresh us and wash us. Because in our anger, there are many sinful desires we even didn't know. Father, give us a humble spirit to examine ourselves. Let your church be strong. Let your church be faithful to witness your word. So strengthen us from your word by your Holy Spirit. We pray for the coming new year. Father, may we all honor your word. May we all have a good plan to reading your word. May we have a wonderful fellowship with our brothers and sisters. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Let's respond and sing Psalm 25b. Psalm 25b. "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he teaches sinners in the way. The humble he guides in justice, and the humble he teaches his way. Please stand and sing Psalm 25b.